Blog Talk Radio. Participants in this conference, please announce yourself.
Okay. All right. Well, I thank God it went through. All right, welcome everybody. And we're in Block Talk Radio. We are live. And I welcome each and every one of you. If you can hear me, do let me know. Or you are echoing me. You know, there's not much I can do. These people have rigged up the phone, so try to bear with me if anything I may change phones. And see if the echo goes away. Thank you for telling me that in talk show that I am echoing. I needed that information. And we're also on freeconferencecall.com.
This conference is being recorded.
Okay. I don't want to do this. Let's see, testing. I want to reduce the echo. I'm going to put this one on mute. No, that's a hold. That's mute. Let's see if that helps. Let me know if it's the echo is gone, and that would alleviate some of the problems. I'm testing, testing, one, two, three. Okay, it looks like it should alleviate the problems. Okay, welcome all, and our participants, downloaders, and listeners, we welcome you. Tonight we have a great night planned. We are continuing with our Bible study and our prayer for the nation, and particularly our prayers for targeted individuals. We are currently studying the major prophets. We've looked at Isaiah, Jeremiah, and the Book of Lamentations. And now we're looking at Ezekiel and the major prophets that we are studying. Include the Book of Isaiah, the Book of Jeremiah, the Book of Lamentations, the Book of Ezekiel, and then finally we will look at the Book of Daniel. There'll be a little quiz at the end. I will begin with an overview of the book, and then I will go into the more an outline. So this is more like a lecture. You're welcome to take independent study classes. You can take classes at tesolministry.com. That's T-E-S-O-L, ministry.com. You're welcome to sign up there. So we'll just go right into the prayer, and then from prayer we'll move into the Bible study, because Blog Talk Radio, I don't have much time. But welcome all Blog Talk people, welcome Talk Show people, welcome Free Conference Call people, welcome our participants, welcome our downloaders. We're glad to have you, because every effort to keep this earth on the righteous side is greatly, greatly needed. So, God, we just praise you, Heavenly Father. We magnify your name. We glorify you, God. You didn't have to do it, but you did. We have another day, another week you brought us through with our loved ones, with our family, with our friends, Heavenly Father. We just give you all the praise and all the glory. Above all, God, we've been able to outbeat eugenic planning. We're in good health. We're in good standing with the Most High God. We've been able to beat Satan and his tricks, his deception, his deceit, and you've given us a chance, Heavenly Father, to see the true God, the awesome God, the benefit of walking with you, Heavenly Father, the benefit of walking under righteousness, being covered by the wings, being covered by your grace and mercy, God. We thank you, because had it not been for your grace and mercy, many of us would be in our graves. So, God, we just thank you for the land of the living. We thank you, God, that we're here on this planet called Earth, and we are lined up according to your will. We thank you, God, that you pulled us out of the miry clay, where we used to think we were on the right track, doing what we wanted, and you've humbled us. You may call us targeted individuals, but you've humbled us. You've put us through some stuff where we had to be lined up right where you created us for. And God, we thank you for that opportunity, because to be on this earth and to live out of what you were created or designed for is a worthless life. So God, we know that what the devil meant for bad, that you are, you will, and you will continue to use for good. So every time Satan thinks he's hurting a targeted individual, I urge them to continue to grow in the Word of God, to say, God, I know, I challenge you, Heavenly Father, that I challenge you to believe, I challenge myself to believe that you are almighty and all-powerful, God. And if you are God, you will bring me out of this situation according to your will. So, God, I thank you and I praise you. And I thank you, God, for bringing people together to pray this program through, to pray together to give the devil a black eye. We thank you, God, for the spirit of not sitting back croaking about this sick program, but giving God all the praises that we can use this experience to become better people, to be better spiritual warriors, to be under the blood of the Most High God, to be under his coverage. God, we thank you for your son that died on the cross, Heavenly Father. We thank you, God, for that sacrifice that was made. So while demons, spiritual wickedness in high places are using demonic spiritual forces, rituals, and things of that nature, God, that we can resort to the blood that was shed on that cross as our coverage, that we don't have to resort to doing dark forces, that we know and we live through the sacrificial benefits of that sacrifice. God, we thank you. We ask you, God, for special blessings over our elderly, Amy's mother, Ann's mother, my mother, Heavenly Father, my aunt, all the elders, Elka, and all the other ones, Heavenly Father, that have been put in this program, that you cover them, God, and that you protect them. You give them an extra shielding, Heavenly Father, from demonic attacks. We ask you, God, to bless children, our babies, Heavenly Father, that you guide them, that you lead them right into the kingdom of God. Let that be the next generation, God, of warriors, of praying people, that you cover each and every one of them, Heavenly Father, particularly those that may be incarcerated, that may be in difficult situations. God, would you just create that pathway straight to your word, straight to you, Heavenly Father. Just direct them, guide them. Holy Spirit, take over. God, we just give you all the praise and the glory. And we ask you, God, to bless this Bible study lesson and let each one of us leave here with information and knowledge that we did not have previously. And God, for those who may be attention deficit, God, would you teach them to be still and be at peace and learn the benefit of listening to lectures, to develop their skills in listening, to develop their skills in comprehension. God, give each one of us the ability to continue to grow through listening and learning. God, we praise you, we exalt you, we magnify your name. In Jesus' name, amen. So as stated before, we're studying tonight the book of Ezekiel. And, okay, no echo now. Wonderful. Okay, thank you for the feedback and talks, you. Great. Okay, who wrote the book? I'll read first a little summary, and then I'll go into an outline. Then we'll look at the Christ of Ezekiel. We'll look at the key points of Ezekiel, the key verses, and then there'll be a little quiz. So the summary includes who wrote the book? Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel takes its title from the priest of the same name, son to a man named Buzi, B-U-Z-I. Ezekiel's priestly lineage shines through in his prophetic ministry. He often concerned himself with topics such as the temple, the priesthood, and the glory of the Lord, and the sacrificial system. Ezekiel 1:1 tells us that the prophecy began in the 30th year. Scholars usually consider this a reference to Ezekiel's age, making him about the same age as Daniel, who was exiled to Babylon nearly a decade earlier. Like many priests of Israel, Ezekiel was married. But when his wife died during his prophetic ministry, God prevented Ezekiel from mourning her in public as a sign of Judah's lack of concern for the things of God, Ezekiel 24:16. Where are we? Ezekiel lived among the Jewish exiles in Babylon at a settlement along River Chebar called Teleb, Ezekiel 3:15. It was less than 100 miles south of Babylon. The invading Babylonians brought about 10,000 Jews to the village in 597 B.C., including Ezekiel and the last king of Judah, Jehoiakim, 2 Kings 24:8. Ezekiel's prophecy began a mere 5 years into his time at Teleb, and he continued to prophesy among the people for at least 22 years, because he spoke to people whom God had exiled due to their continued rebellion against him. A majority of Ezekiel's message communicates judgment for sins committed. However, like all the prophets, he also provided his people now without a land of their own, some hope for the future. Why is Ezekiel so important? The book of Ezekiel pronounces judgment on both Israel and surrounding nations, but it also provides a vision of the future kingdom that complements and adds to the vision of the other Old and New Testament texts. Not only does the book present a striking picture of the resurrection and restoration of God's people, it also offers readers a picture of the reconstructed temple in Jerusalem, complete with the return of God's glory to his dwelling place. This latter section of Ezekiel's prophecy looks forward to the people's worship after Christ's return in the end times, when he will rule Israel and the nations from his throne in Jerusalem during his thousand-year reign. Well, what's the big idea? God didn't exile the Israelites primarily to punish them. God never has been, nor is he now, interested in punishment for punishment's sake. Rather, he intended the punishment or judgment in Ezekiel's day as a means to an end to bring his people to a state of repentance and humility before the one true God. They had lived for so long in sin and rebellion, sounds like today, confident in their own strength, sounds like today, and that of the neighboring nation, sounds like today, that they needed God to remind them of his holy nature and their humble identity in a most dramatic way. After centuries of warnings, prophetic messages, and invasions, God decided that more significant action was required. He had to remove the people from their promised land. That's how a lot of targeted individuals began to get lined up with what God planned for them. Sometimes God has to turn some things upside down. I know I'm a living witness. I was like, whoa, what's going on here? I mean, he just, like, I had some demons. It was just remarkable, but he got me where I'm at, where God wanted me, and that's doing what I'm doing now, studying his word. How do I apply this? Ezekiel's entire prophetic ministry centered around the small exiled community at Telabib, a people uprooted from their homes and livelihoods, living out their days in a foreign land. Can you imagine the feelings of disorientation and confusion that accompanied these people? Even though many of the exiles were directly engaged in the sinful behavior that led to God's judgment, that would not prevent them from wondering why all this was happening to them. Sound like T.I.'s. We know our lives were not accordingly, but we sit there wondering why is this happening. We sometimes find ourselves in that predicament as well, asking why, Lord, and waiting in silence for the answer. The exiles had to wait 5 years for God to send Ezekiel, and when God did, his prophet had a message that the people likely didn't want to hear. God is the Lord of heaven and earth, and the judgment the people were experiencing was a result of their own sin. And I am not trying to say that the TI program is the result of anybody's sin. I'm saying God uses whatever circumstances he chooses to use to bring people with it, what we're aligned with what they were created for. The book of Ezekiel reminds us to seek out the Lord in those dark times when we feel lost. That's a whole T.I.'s life. To examine our own lives and to align ourselves with the one true God. And we should consider doing this today. So that's a summary of the book of Ezekiel. Now let's take a look at my the Bible study lesson here. And let's see what we have. An outline first. In chapter 1, the commission, chapter 1 of Ezekiel talks about the commission of Ezekiel. Ezekiel sees the glory of God. It goes into the four living creatures, the four wheels, the firmament, the appearance of a man, and that's all under Ezekiel sees the glory of a God. So these are the things. He had a vision. He saw four living creatures, four wheels, the firmament, the appearance of a man. Ezekiel is commissioned to the word of God in Ezekiel 2. Chapter 2 goes into Ezekiel is sent to Israel. Ezekiel is instructed about his ministry. And I urge you all, make sure you read the book of Ezekiel for if you want in-depth. Because for me to sit here and read the book, it's just not what this is about here. This is a summary. I'm doing an outline. There were four signs of coming judgment. That's in Ezekiel 4. There was the sign of the clay tablet, the sign of Ezekiel's lying on his side, the sign of the defiled bread, the sign of the razor and hair, an explanation of the signs. That's in Ezekiel 5. There were two messages coming judgment in Ezekiel 6. Destruction because of idolatry, destruction of high places, salvation of the remnant and desolation of the land, description of the Babylonians' conquest. So he gave two messages, and that was in chapter 6. Then in chapter 8, it's a four-part vision of coming judgment. Ezekiel gives the vision of the glory of God, vision of the abomination in the temple, the image of jealousy, the paintings on the wall, the weeping for Tammuz, the sun worship. Then in chapter 9, it goes into the vision of the slaying in Jerusalem, call to six men, command to slay the wicked, and the weeping Ezekiel. Ezekiel 10 goes into the departure of the glory of God to the threshold, vision of the wheels and cherubim, vision of the 25 wicked rulers, promise of the restoration of the remnant, departure of the glory of God from the Mount of Olives, up to chapter 11. We're just looking at an outline. Chapter 12 discusses the sign of belongings for removing, the sign of trembling, message against the false prophets, judgment upon false prophets, judgment upon false prophetesses. Chapter 14 goes into a message against the elders, idolatry of the elders, Jerusalem to be destroyed. Ezekiel talks about Jerusalem being destroyed. He gives a parable of the vine, parable of Israel's marriage. God has mercy on Israel in chapter 16. Israel rejects God in chapter 16. God punishes Israel, chapter 16. God remembers his covenant. Then in chapter 17, it goes into the parable of the two eagles, message of personal judgment for personal sin, lament for the prince of Israel, parable of the white-red vine, message of judgment on Jerusalem, review of God's past dealings with Israel. That's in chapter 20. And chapter 20 goes into the review of God's past dealings with Israel. He talks about it in Egypt, in the wilderness, in Canaan, in Ezekiel's time. Then there's a message of God's future restoration of Israel, and that's chapter 20. The sign of judgment on Jerusalem, sign of the forest fire, sign of the drawn sword, sign of the double stroke of the sword. There's a message of judgment on Jerusalem, Parables on Judgment on Jerusalem, Parable of Two Sisters, Parable of the Boiling Pot in chapter 24, and then finally there's a sign through the death of Ezekiel's wife. There's part three, Judgment on the Gentiles, Judgment on Ammon, Judgment on Moab, Judgment on Edom, Philistia, Tyre, Sidon, and Egypt. Egypt to be desolate, Egypt to be taken by Babylon, Egypt to be destroyed in chapter 30, Egypt is cut down like Assyria, chapter 31, Egypt is lamented, chapter 32, and then Egypt in Sheol, chapter 32, 17 through, verses 17 through 32. Wow. Yes. Then chapter 33, the return of Israel to the land. Chapter 37, the prophecies concerning Israel. Judgment on the nation. It was prophecy of judgment on the nation. Prophecy that Israel returns to the Lord. Prophecy that Israel will be reborn. There were visions of dry bones, signs of two sticks. Chapter 38, prophecies concerning Gog and Magog, and an attack by Gog. Judgment of God is discussed. The restoration of Israel in the kingdom is discussed in chapter 40. This is, again, just an outline. The new temple is discussed. Vision of the man with the measuring rod, the outer court, the inner court, the temple vestibule, the temple itself, the chamber in the outer court, the place of separation, the return of the glory of God to the temple, the altar of burnt offerings, chapter 43. In chapter 44, it goes into the new worship, the duties of the temple priest, the land of the temple priest, the offerings of the temple priest, and the new land. The new land, discussed in chapter 47, is river from the temple, boundaries of the land, the division of the land, the gates of the city, and the names, and the name of the city in chapter 48. Wow, that's 48 chapters. That's a long book. Now, let's take a look at the Christ of Ezekiel. How is Ezekiel compared to Christ? Ezekiel 17, verses 22 to 24, depicts the Messiah as a tender twig that becomes a stately cedar on a lofty mountain, as he is similarly called the branch in Isaiah 11:1 and Jeremiah 23:5 and Zechariah 3:8. The Messiah is the king who has the right to rule, and he is the true shepherd who will deliver and feed his flock. The keys to Ezekiel, the key words are the future restoration of Israel. Like all the TIs, once you go through something, you have to know when you stay under God's will, there's a future restoration. The broad purpose of Ezekiel is to remind the generation born during the Babylonian exile of the cause of Israel's current destruction, of the coming judgment on the Gentile nations, and of the coming national restoration of Israel. Central to that hope is the departure of the glory of God from Israel and the prediction of its ultimate return. It's Ezekiel 43:2. Again, the key words are the future restoration of Israel. Those are the key words to the book of Ezekiel. The broad purpose of Ezekiel is to remind the generation born during the Babylonians' exile of the cause of Israel's current destruction, of the coming judgment on the Gentile nations, and the coming national restoration of Israel. Central to that hope is the departure of the glory of God from Israel and the prediction of its ultimate return. That is one of those are the key words. The key verses are Ezekiel 36, verses 24 through 26, Ezekiel 36, verses 33 through 35. The key chapter is Ezekiel chapter 37. Central to the hope of the restoration of Israel is the vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. Ezekiel chapter 37 outlines with clear steps Israel's future. A summary of Israel, survey of Israel, of Ezekiel, excuse me. Ezekiel prophesied among the Jewish exiles in Babylon during the last days of Judah's decline and downfall. His message of judgment is similar to that of his older contemporary. Hold on one second. Let me make sure this. These people have a tendency to mess sometimes with the phones, and I want to make sure I'm still coming in. Testing, testing. Okay. All right, let's see. I don't know. Is this one on, too? Another mic. Testing, testing. One, two, three. Testing.
Testing.
Okay. Okay, it looks like it's on. Okay. And talk show. Let me just see. Well, the computer's not letting me get to talk to you. I'm not going to worry about that. Okay. So, Ezekiel, we take a look. Ezekiel prophesied among the Jewish exiles in Babylon during the last days of Judah's decline and downfall. His message of judgment is similar to that of his older contemporary, Jeremiah, who remained in Jerusalem. Judah would be judged because of her unfaithfulness. But God promised her future restoration and blessing. Like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel proclaimed a message of horror and hope, of condemnation and consolation. But Ezekiel placed special emphasis on the glory of Israel's sovereign God, who says, "They shall know that I am the Lord." The book breaks into four sections, which are the commission of Ezekiel in chapters 1 through 3, the judgment of Judah, chapters 4 through 24, the judgment on the Gentile in chapters 25 through 32, and the restoration of Israel in chapters 33 through 48. The commission of Ezekiel, what is it? God gave Ezekiel an overwhelming vision of his divine glory and commissioned him to be his prophet, as in the experiences of Moses, Isaiah, Daniel, and John. Ezekiel was given instruction, enablement, and responsibility. That was the commission. So what was the judgment on Judah? Ezekiel directed his prophecies. One sec, technical. Okay. Boy, oh boy. Return to call. Okay. Ezekiel, okay, sorry about that, I just had to see. Ezekiel directed his prophecies against the nation God chose for himself. The prophet's signs and sermons, chapter 4 through 7, point to the certainty of Judah's judgment. In chapter 8, verse 11, Judah's past sins and coming doom were seen in a series of visions of abomination in the temple, the slaying of the wicked, and the departing glory of God. The priests and princes were condemned as the glory left the temple, moved to the Mount of Olives, and disappeared in the east. Chapters 12 through 24 speak of the causes and extent of Judah's coming judgment through dramatic signs, powerful sermons, and parables. Judah's prophets were counterfeits, and her elders were isolators. They had become a fruitless vine and an adulterous wife. Babylon would swoop down like an eagle and pluck them up, and they would not be aided by Egypt. The people were responsible for their own sins, and they were not being unjustly judged for their sins of their ancestors. Judah had been unfaithful, but God promised that their judgment ultimately would be followed by restoration. I believe that for TIs as well, that God's promise that this judgmental experience, this sick persecution, this aggravated harassment, ongoing electronic torture, financial induced poverty, all kinds of demonic attacks will be followed by restoration. You have to believe and you have to know it, because we're living the history of the Bible. So that was, all right, we looked at the commission of Ezekiel. He had an assignment. Then we had judgment on Judah. We're learning that the judgment came because a lot of them were living according to their own will. And God promised them, even though they were out of order and he allowed judgment to fall on them, he promised them restoration. And that was the judgment on Judah. And then there was the judgment on the Gentiles. Judah's nearest neighbors might gloat over her destruction, but they would be next in line. They too would suffer the fate of siege and destruction by Babylon. Ezekiel shows the full circle of judgment on the nations that surrounded Judah by following a clockwise circuit. He started with Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, and ended with Sidon in chapters 25 through 28. He spent a disproportionate amount of time on Tyre, and many scholars believe that the king of Tyre in chapter 28, verses 11 through 19, may be Satan. The real power behind the nation, just like now, the real power behind this nation is Satan. Chapters 29 through 32 contain a series of oracles against Egypt. Unlike the nations listed by Ezekiel that were destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Egypt would continue to exist, but as the lowliest of kingdoms. Since that time, it has never recovered its former glory or influence. That was the judgment on the Gentiles. Then, finally, Ezekiel goes into the restoration of Israel. The prophecies in these chapters were given after the overthrow of Jerusalem. Now that the promised judgment had come, Ezekiel's message no longer centered on coming judgment, but on the positive theme of comfort and consolation. Just as surely as judgment had come, blessing would also come. God's people would be regathered and restored. The mouth of Ezekiel, God's watchman, was opened when he was told that Jerusalem had been taken. Judah had false shepherds, rulers, but the true shepherd would lead them in the future. The vision of the Valley of Dry Bones pictures the reanimation of the nation by the Spirit of God. Israel and Judah would be purified and reunited. There will be a future invasion by the northern armies of Gog. But Israel, not God, Gog, G-O-G, but Israel will be saved because the Lord will destroy the invading forces. In 572, okay, good. In 572, let's see, where did I go? No links. Ay, ay, ay. Hold on, lost my place. Okay. In 572 B.C., 14 years after the destruction of Jerusalem, Ezekiel returned in a vision to the fallen city and was given detailed specifications for the reconstruction of the temple, the city, and the land, chapters 40 through 48. After an intricate description of the new outer court, inner court, and temple in chapters 40 through 42, Ezekiel viewed the return of the glory of the Lord to the temple from the east. Regulations concerning worship in the coming temple, chapter 43 through 46, are followed by revelations concerning the new land and city chapters 47 through 48. So Ezekiel, the basic book, Ezekiel talks about the commission of Ezekiel, which was his assignment, the judgment on Judah, the judgment on the Gentiles, and then God's promise of restoration. Then we have Ezekiel, the glory of the Lord. When God sent his people to exile as punishment for their sin, he still continued to speak to them. If he was to purge the nation of their corrupt idolatry, they needed to hear more of the very word which they had so stubbornly resisted. among the Jews taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. In his second invasion of Judah, 597 B.C., there was a man named Ezekiel. This was the king whom Daniel served as God's ambassador to the court of the captor king. It was during the captivity years that some of the Jews returned to God. That was the beginning of the religion of Judaism, because Ezekiel was the prominent prophet at this time. He has been called the father of Judaism, of Judaism. Neither Daniel nor Ezekiel began their prophetic ministries until they were deported to Babylonia. Daniel was taken captive in 605 B.C. in Nebuchadnezzar's first invasion of Jerusalem, and he began his prophetic ministry in that same year. Ezekiel was deported to Babylon in 597 B.C. along with King Jehoiakim and a host of citizens when Nebuchadnezzar invaded Jerusalem the second time. Ezekiel was not called to prophecy until after he had been in Babylon for about 5 years. Thus, Jeremiah was the lone prophet in the land of Judah for the last 20 years before Jerusalem fell. Daniel and Ezekiel served as prophets only in captivity. The different ministries of the three contemporary prophets may be identified as: 1. Jeremiah was a prophet mainly to the Jews in Jerusalem before the city fell. Daniel was a prophet mainly to the court of the king Nebuchadnezzar in Babylonia. Ezekiel was a prophet mainly to the exiles in Babylonia before and after the fall of Jerusalem. Ezekiel was the prophet of the captivity. It is interesting that in Ezekiel's book there's no mention of Jeremiah, whereas Daniel is mentioned 3 times, Ezekiel 14:14. Daniel, because of his favor at the king's court, was well known throughout Babylonia by the time Ezekiel arrived in the country. Daniel's prophecy refers to Jeremiah, and the name Ezekiel does not appear in either of the other two books. The idolatry, which Ezekiel saw as Judah's blight before he left Jerusalem, was the same condition he faced in the settlements of Jewish exiles in Babylonia. The judgment of captivity did not stir the first contingent of exiles to repentance. In fact, they found it very hard to believe, as Ezekiel was prophesying that the Babylonians would actually destroy Jerusalem. They were loath to believe that Jehovah had given world dominion to Babylon, and that his will was for Judah to submit to his enemy. Hence, it was necessary for Ezekiel's people to not have any expectations of immediate deliverance. Wow. That's like telling people to hang on in there. This and this is going to happen. It's not pretty. It's not good. But God is going to change it. I guess that's how you really see who's going to be faithful out to the end. And it's almost like now, being a TI, targeted individual, you can either get beat down and say it's not going to get better and just give in, or you can stand on God's promises. The man Ezekiel. Very little is known of the personal history of Ezekiel, but enough information may be garnered from various Bible references to project a biographical profile of this fascinating prophet. Ezekiel's name means God strengthens. The name Ezekiel is written in Hebrew as Yahazel. The prophet was truly a tower of strength in the midst of defeated people. That's even harder, you know, like you're right. You know, everybody in a defeated state, and you want to prophesy. Also, God made him strong to resist the opposition of hard-hearted and rebellious Israelites. Yeah, you got to be strong. I knew there was a lot of rebellion. It's extra hard telling people about God and this and that when they're going through stuff, you know. Look at in this TI community, we have a lot of people that just went outright atheists. You know, and we just we continue to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to intervene. Ezekiel, like Jeremiah, was born a priest of priestly heritage. His father's name was Buzi, B-U-Z-I, a priest possibly of the Zadok line. Ezekiel was married, but it is not known if he had any children. The darkest day of his life may have been when the Lord announced to him 2 tragic events, the siege of Jerusalem and the death of his beloved wife. Ezekiel was about 26 years old when he went into exile. When Ezekiel was about 18 years old, the Babylonians, also known as the Chaldeans, made their first invasion into Judea, carrying away some captives, among whom was Daniel. 8 years later, they came again, and this time Ezekiel was among the captives, which comprised the upper classes of Judah. Read 2 Kings 24:10 for the historical record of this, and Ezekiel 1, verse 2, Ezekiel 33, verse 21. Some of the exiles were incarcerated, others were made slaves. Many were allowed to settle down in their own homes in various settlements of the exiles. It was of divine providence that Ezekiel was among those granted such liberties. His home was Tel Aviv, a principal colony of exiles near the fabulous city of Babylon. Tel Aviv was located by the Canal Cheba, Grand Canal, which flowed from the Euphrates fork above Babylon through Nippur, winding back into the Euphrates near Erech, E-R-E-C-H. Ezekiel's home was a meeting place where the Jewish elders often came to consult with him. It may be that his home was open to any of the exiles that wanted spiritual help. Ezekiel received God's call and commission. 5 years after his arrival in the strange land of Babylon, Ezekiel received his call to the prophetic office to minister to the exiles in Babylonia. When he experienced and heard in this call, this call is recorded in the first three chapters of the book of his book. 22 years later, when Ezekiel was around 52 years old, he was still prophesying to the exiles. It is not known how much longer his ministry continued. Concerning character, Ezekiel the prophet was strong and fearless. This is what God made him, and these were his dominant characteristics. He had boundless energy and a love for the simple, clear, and direct. Though his disposition was firm, he had a shepherd's heart for his countrymen. Ezekiel is the one who, in the first place, bringing in pieces the hard hearts with the hammer of the law, represents the strict, inexorable judge, but therefore pouring soothing balm into the open wounds, he approves himself as the healing physician. Ezekiel's book reveals that he was methodical, artistic, and mystic. With a deeply introspective nature, he must have studied the message of God a great deal as it applied to himself and his brethren. He was truly a practical theologian, and for this he has been called the first dogmatic of the Old Testament and the prophet of personal responsibility. Ezekiel stressed 3 points in his preaching. It was sin which brought the people's judgment of exile. The people must repent and return to God. B, the exile would last for 70 years. Oof, that's a long time. Wow. Even though false prophets were preaching on an early return, Ezekiel stuck to his schedule. The people had a letter from Jeremiah which concurred with Ezekiel's preaching. The 70-year captivity began in 605 B.C. with the first deportation of Jews. Before the Jews could return to Jerusalem, they must return to the Lord. He stressed 3 points in his preaching. He stressed the point sin, that people must repent and return to God. And then he preached that the exile would last 70 years. And then he preached that there would be a future restoration of Israel. This restoration would be for a believing remnant. The general impression of three messages was that this restoration was in the far distant future. Most of the adults of Ezekiel's audience had no other hope, for 70 years of captivity precluded their returning to Jerusalem in their lifetime. Wow. Ezekiel constantly stressed the Lord's sovereignty and glory. The phrase glory of the Lord or its equivalent appears 11 times in the first 11 chapters of his book. The statement of God, they shall know that I am the Lord, or its equivalent, appears about 70 times in the book. A comparison of the main themes of the four greater prophets is that each had an emphasis. Isaiah emphasized the salvation of the Lord. Jeremiah emphasized the judgment of the Lord. Daniel, the kingdom of the Lord. And Ezekiel, the sovereignty and glory of the Lord. Amazing. The book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel's style is lofty. While it is true that most of the book of Ezekiel consists of the direct words addressed by the Lord, the form and style in which these words were recorded is attributable to the writer Ezekiel. Ezekiel's style is very lofty. He has brought prose and poetry together in one masterpiece. The book abounds with visions, parables, allegories,